are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There's no off-season for volunteering, so we're asking the best fans in the NFL to make a difference by volunteering 10 hours in your local community. Take the Cleveland Browns First and 10 pledge today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn more. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci wrapping up our first hour here. 216-578-0850. Get your questions in about the preseason opener as the Browns travel to Detroit to take on the Lions. And here is a good question from Twitter right now, at Oles Williams says, please talk about why the Browns have been an awful blitzing team. In my opinion, that's when we get burned the most, usually on third down. And I would say last year the problem was once teams, and it started in that Detroit game, identified the weakness in the Browns' coverage, they were able to run such quick developing and quick hitting routes that the Browns didn't have a chance to get to the quarterback anyway. Now that the coverage on the back end will be so much better, plus this defense is so much better at disguising where the blitzers are coming from, I think you're going to see a whole lot more success. Don't forget, this Buffalo Bills team, which was running this defense last year, 57 sacks, second in the NFL. So I think the Browns will be a significantly more successful blitzing team in 2014 than they were in 2013.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And the concepts of this defense are fascinating because there's a boldness now. You could call it you could flat out just call it a cockiness, that there's an attitude of this defense basically saying, we'll play the run, but we'll play the run on the way to the quarterback. And I heard it described by a member of the Bills to me during the summer. We were just talking about the fact that Mike Pettine was here, and this guy had been coached by him, obviously, as a defensive coordinator last year. So there aren't a lot of rules in that defense, rules regarding gap integrity, gap control, consistency in dealing with the run. And the Bills suffered mightily in that area. Now, there's an argument to be made that the Bills' problems against the run had probably as much to do with their lack of talent, and they went out and got Brandon Spikes. You know, they went out and tried to address that, and they needed – some better play from people, the stouter people up front. They needed people to be stouter, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I think that's the difference between these two teams. I think Pat and O'Neill get away with how they're going to play their defense from a pass rush standpoint with better in a defense that has the kind of line that this group has. I think there's reason to have faith in this group. And when you're talking about when you're talking about Billy Winn stepping up, when you're talking about Desmond Bryant stepping up as defensive line, Taba Rubin, I think that group, Phil Taylor, gives you a lot of reason to think that the run, and a Jabal Sheard, we think of him, sure, he can get after the quarterback, but I think he's stout against the run as well. Let's go to Mark, who is from Silver Lake. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey, you know, first off, I want to preface this by saying I think Mary Kay Cabot is just stellar as a Browns reporter. She just gets it almost all right.
Well, that's why we have her on the show.
The one thing she didn't get right was just now when she said Harold Anderson can do anything. The one thing he cannot do is restore credibility to the NFL. Their standards of player conduct are so skewed that there's, even if they let Josh Gordon off completely at this point, to have these standards regarding marijuana in 2014 are just ridiculous. It's like trying to cure dandruff by decapitation.
Well, Mark, let me jump. I got to jump in one thing here. Let's not leave it just to the. You're saying the NFL and leaving it at that. That is a collectively bargained punishment schedule. The NFLPA, the union that represents those players, has a say in this. Had a say in this when they made the agreement. That's what they gave up, Mark. So if you're going to say the NFL, you know that's the all the problem in their rule in dispensing of punishment. Let's talk about the NFLPA because they collaborated on this.
I agree.
That's a
they
fact.
They screwed up, but I would also say this, that the NFL should be smart enough in this day and age, I think, to say, listen, we need to rethink the policy that, yes, we agreed to and you agreed to because it doesn't have a place in today's society as it may have as recently as a few years ago. Some of the things have changed as well, in my opinion.
I mean, this was 2011. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, but Colorado wasn't legal in 2011.
I understand, but the
Washington wasn't legal in 2011.
But the trending was going there then, at least based on what I remember.
I think they have put, and I think his point is, and I would agree, that the league has now put itself in a dangerous situation where they are legislating, and the players' union is equally as culpable, that certain punishments which hurt nobody else, which affect no one else, are deemed to be worse. Those offenses are deemed to be worse than things such as knocking a woman out. And I think that's where they have put themselves in a bad position.
Now, I suppose they could do something like that, like make an announcement saying, you know, this is 2014. We really have to rethink this. But I don't see them doing it. I think they're far too stiff-necked and arrogant to do anything like that at this point. And even if they let Josh Gordon off, I still don't think it'll restore any credibility.
Okay, interesting take, and we appreciate the call. I think his point is valid about at least rethinking it or looking at it. Have they painted themselves in a position where the credibility of these suspensions is a problem? I don't know. I'll tell you what. When I hear what I heard about last night in Baltimore, I question whether there is a credibility problem with the whole suspension thing, because that was the worst thing in the world a couple of weeks ago when we first heard about it. And his hometown crowd was giving him a standing ovation. I repeat, standing ovation for someone who was involved in a domestic violence situation, as you said, as disgusting as it could be and as horrific as it sounds and what it appears to be by what we're hearing about it. We don't know every detail in fact, but that's what we took, just that much on the surface. And the public, I don't know.
I think the public's inconsistent.
That's a chunk of public. That's people. You can't interact any more than people in the stands and the player on the field. Somewhere along the line, somebody should have expressed a problem with that. Are they not humans?
Apparently not, but you're also saying that the public is the group of season ticket holders to the Baltimore Ravens.
I know.
That's not the public at large. I'm pretty sure if it was a different stadium,
yeah, but
he doesn't get that.
But that's the whole point of the punishment thing. So if
he doesn't get that
response. If a Browns player goes through a transgression, it's not okay everywhere else. It's fine in Cleveland. He's our guy. It's okay. Because that's what – do you know what I'm saying? That's what the league counts on, Nathan. The league basically counts on that forgiveness aspect. They figure that the paying customer is ultimately going to still pay regardless of what they see of the player, as long as that guy is doing right by the team. And you mentioned – you brought up Jim Irsay's name as an owner. As long as he's doing right by the fan base there, handing out $100 bills or whatever he was doing at training camp not long ago, the fan base is cool about it with it. That's a fact, and I think the league – so you guys who worry about, well, you know, the league's going to have to rethink this. I don't know if the league's going to rethink this, because I don't know if the league thinks it has to, and it's not stiff-necked and it's not arrogance. It's real. It's reality. It's a reality check of how people react. All politics is local, and that's kind of how this works.
I totally disagree with you, completely. Well, They're still writing articles about this every single day.
They are, yes. And media is screaming about it, and what's been the outcome? Nothing. I mean, it hasn't changed the debate. It doesn't change. It's akin to the whole Redskins.
Can I even finish a sentence?
Of course, but the Redskins discussion, too, is another one. No, it's another one about changing the name and hue and cry and this and that. And that's, I don't see that happening, in at least as long as Daniel Snyder owns the team. Go ahead, my friend.
All right, thank you. So what I'm saying is I think that there is a significant backlash, especially from the female fans of the National Football League, and I think you will see it. And now you might not be able to see it because games that have been pre-sold long before the ruling on Ray Rice was handed down, the tickets are still going to be there. In his home stadium, he's going to be regarded well. But I'm pretty sure when he goes on the road, there are going to be a lot of things directed at him about this, and there are going to be a lot of people who are booing him vociferously because they don't agree with what he did.
Because they got another chunk of something to boo the guy wearing the wrong uniform. So you're telling me the female fans in Baltimore are different than the female fans in Cleveland? Because they're females now, and they would have the same sensitivity. You're telling me
the
women in Baltimore will look upon him differently because he's wearing a Ravens uniform versus the female fans in Cleveland. That's what you just basically told me.
No.
That season ticket base has a lot of females in it in Baltimore. They were cheering, standing up, giving them an ovation.
So you're saying in an ovation in a stadium where they could have been males who are typically louder anyway, you're saying every female in there was standing up and cheering Ray Rice?
I wasn't taking an account. I'm going two accounts, Jameson Hensley, and it was Aaron Wilson from the Baltimore Sun. They made a specific point of covering the reaction. It was a big deal, a big story to cover. That's what they reported. Two different accounts of men who were covering that game listening kind of specifically for even a shred of a boo, and from all indications, they got none. There were females in that crowd, brother, and I'm telling you, it's no different if you're a Baltimore.
Sure,
I don't think
Ray
so,
Rice.
But because they own the season ticket
so
for the Ravens,
forgiveness. Shame on them.
Okay, that's where I'm going. I'm just trying to tell you, that's the reality of this thing, because I expected different. If this were the issue that people have the contempt for and write about and talk about, as I feel and you feel, I've expressed that. I'm not talking about my feeling. I'm observing those feelings and going back to the point of who is going to change. This is going to somehow be a referendum on how the league's going to handle things. It's likely not to happen. It's just likely not to happen. So that's how I feel. What do we got coming up here? Oh, 2 o'clock. We got Tim Twentyman. We're going to talk some Lions ball with the DetroitLions.com writer and does video stuff. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and you know what we're driven by? Liberty Ford.
Your home for ESPN Radio is ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland. Streaming live at ESPNCleveland.com.